Welcome to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Ba'aloyscha Shvi, the seventh and last Aliyah of Parshas Ba'aloyscha. This Aliyah is 22 psukim, running from Perik Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed, to Perik Yud Beis, Pasuk Tes Zayin. The main topic is the Slav and Miriam. So we hear that Hashem now has gathered the whole nation and the elders in front of the tent of meeting, and an easterly wind brings this group of Slav, which are these types of birds in the desert, and they land around the camp for days, travel in every direction. This is just a colossal amount of birds that have landed. And the people went about carrying and capturing them, and it says that the person who collected the least, you know, had 5 donkeys worth of slav, and they started eating it. But while they were still eating it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu grew angry and sent a plague against them, and many of them died. And this became known as the place of the Kivros HaTa'ava, the burial of those who had their desire. They went to Chatzeros, which now leads us to our second part of the Aliyah, which is about Aaron and Miriam. Miriam and Aaron speak about Moshe Rabbeinu, and they talk about his wife, Ki Isha, Ki Kushis Lakach, he took her Isha Kushis, a woman who was a Kushite. And they said, did Hashem only speak to Moshe? What about us? Hashem heard this and then called, and the Torah then emphasized that Moshe was Aish Moshe Anav Ma'od. He was the most humble person ever who lived on the face of the planet. Then Hashem appeared suddenly to Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam, told them to go to the entrance of the tent of meeting, and then he appeared in a cloud at the front of the tent of the meeting and pulled Moshe and Aaron in by themselves, not to be reprimanded in front of Moshe. And he explains the difference between the prophecy that Moshe receives and the prophecy that all other Nevi'im receive. Hashem speaks to Moshe pe al pe, mouth to mouth, whereas other Nevi'im only have visions. At which point the cloud leaves, Miriam is found to be leprous, she has tzaras. Aaron turns to Moshe and asks for forgiveness, and he begs that Miriam be healed, that she should not be like a stillbirth whose skin is white. Moshe prays for a very short prayer, Kel na refat na la, Hashem, please heal her. And Hashem explains that she needs to be locked up for 7 days, and that's what happens. She remains 7 days there, and the people do not travel until the end of her tzaras, until at which point they traveled to Midbar Parah. That is a summary of the Aliyah. A few points to ponder on who died and how in this particular episode. So the truth is that it sounds like, as Mephoshim explained, that some died immediately and some died after 30 days. Because remember, Hashem promised that there would be 30 days worth of eating. So who died first and who died last? So the Sephardim explains that those who died immediately were those who said that they wanted to just eat meat. They were overcome by their desire. They just couldn't help wanting to have more. But those who just spent 30 days and suffered for 30 days before dying, those are the people who said, why did you take us out of Mitzrayim? Meaning that was more of an ideological problem, and they had suffering because of that. And it says, no, there was a whole swath of people who were killed on the first day, and those are the primary problems. However, there were others who said, well, it must have been the others were all bad, but now maybe it's fine. They started stuffing themselves afterwards, and they got through 30 days of suffering and then ultimately died as well. So there were two groups, depending on how we divide it. Now, what's this whole business with Moshe's wife got to do with this whole complaint they have? So even Ezra says that she came from a family of Middle Eastern origin. We're talking about Tzipora. And she and the family had a darker skin, and it's referring to Kushit refers to sort of a darker skin lady, and so they noticed that Moshe Rabbeinu had separated from his wife, from Tzipora, and they made the theory is because of her skin color. And the Ha'emek Dawar says on a similar kind of note, they said the accusation was because she was a non-Jewish woman, Moshe Rabbeinu married her, then he separated from her because he didn't want to be with her. Again, you know, without asking, without confronting, or without discovering more, here they're weaving a theory about what happened. The Chizkuni says this could be an additional wife to Tzipora. It's not her herself, it's a separate woman. Rashi puts it all together and says, no, absolutely not. Kushis means beautiful. It's referring to how Tzipora is in fact a very beautiful wife to Moshe Rabbeinu. What they're complaining about is they're saying, well, Moshe Rabbeinu has separated from his wife, that's true. But you know what? Why should he be more special than us? We remain married, even though we're prophets, which now explains the continuation of the topic. The continuation of the conversation is, why is Moshe Rabbeinu so special in his nevuah? And the expression of that is in the fact that he's separated from his wife. So it's not an indictment about his wife or some background story that they're inventing. It's really about his prophecy, which is why the continuation of this whole topic is the prophecy of Moshe. Why are we told that Moshe Rabbeinu is so humble here? Isn't that a strange thing for Moshe Rabbeinu writing the Torah to say? Well, first of all, it was dictated from Hashem. But if you notice carefully that the word anav, which means humble, is actually missing a yud. This is some of the extra ink of the Torah, because Moshe Rabbeinu was not prepared to write that he was so humble, because he was so humble. So he left out the yud, which was one of the expressions of his humility. Now, why does Hashem appear so suddenly in front of them? What is going on over here that this has to happen? Pit'om, suddenly. So the basic explanation is that is one of the differentiating practices between a regular Navi and Moshe Rabbeinu. A regular Navi has bodily awareness to a certain degree that they can't receive Hashem in a lucid state. They have to, in a dream or in a fit or a seizure, experience the divine. Moshe Rabbeinu could do it in a lucid manner while he was still awake. He was the only prophet who could do that because he was so elevated that his bodily awareness was not any form of barrier to it between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is why he had to be completely removed from all aspects of this life. However, other prophets are not like that. That was why Hashem did this, appeared suddenly, to show Aaron and Miriam that they would collapse. They couldn't experience Hashem's immediate appearance in a lucid state during the day to them. That's what was happening over here. You'll also notice that over here you have the notion of what's called the Aspaklaria Hame'ira and the Aspaklaria She'ena Me'ira. A regular prophet sees through a colored or a dirty lens. What does that mean, it's a dirty lens? That means to say that actually the filter is themselves. Their bodily awareness, their sense of self, their ego, is the lens through which they see the prophecy, which actually distorts the prophecy to a certain degree. Every prophet has that. Their whole life work is to diminish their ego, diminish their self-awareness, diminish their bodily awareness, so they can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu fully. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only prophet who ever had Aspaklaria Hame'ira, complete transparent lens through which he looked when he saw Hashem. And the reason this was necessary, because he was the lawgiver, therefore there was no aspect of personal awareness, which is why the emphasis on the humility, which is why the emphasis on Hashem appearing in a lucid state, that they were not able to maintain themselves. And this is the crux of the issue of this topic. Why was that only Miriam received leprosy? The answer is because she started the conversation. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu davening such a short tefillah? So Rashi explains two reasons. One is because people would be complaining and saying, look, he's davening so long and she needs his help, go help her. The other one is people complain, well, is he davening so long and he doesn't, if we're his sister and he doesn't even daven so long for us? Which gets down to the very core of some of the trouble that Moshe Rabbeinu is having in this aliyah, which is it's really difficult to be a leader. No matter what you do, people complain. No matter how much you try to help, people complain, and it's very painful to be in that state. So that is even for his own sister, who he wants to pray longer for, he can't really even pray longer for because people will complain about the way he tries to help. And that this is some of the complexity that Moshe Rabbeinu is experiencing now as the leader of the nation after the Matan Torah, after the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and some of the complexities that are going to lead us into the next few Parshios, where the desert experience becomes a little extended. With this, we close Parshios Ba'aloyscha. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.